Welcome to part two of our conversation with Vincent Treewell.
And I'm curious, because I've been sharing this experience that I've had, and I'm curious if others have too, because I've not met a lot of people who are like, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. It hasn't happened recently, but a while back, when I was still married, I would have dreams where I would be in a completely different life. But it all made sense. I wasn't like, oh my God, where am I? Who are these people? There was like a whole backstory, and I knew the backstory, like the back of my hand. Like it was just, oh yeah, I'm from this area, and this is my family. I don't remember very specifically like the faces or who the people were, but they were there. There was like another life going on, and I'd wake up after like being engrossed in this dream, and it was just normal, mundane life things that I was doing. It would be things like going to a Walmart or whatever, just nothing like particularly exciting. And I'd wake up, and for the first few seconds of waking up, I would have to sit there and go, where am I? Am I married? Do I have kids? And I had to like sit there for a moment, and my mind would have to like readjust to like, who am I
in this body? I understand what you're saying.
And it was so weird.
Go ahead.
And I don't do drugs. I wasn't doing anything. It was just like, what the hell was that?
Yes. Well, and you mentioned drugs. The first thing that came to my mind, and I don't use hallucinogenics or anything like that.
No.
But so I don't know firsthand, but people have.
It makes me curious, though.
It does. Going on DMT trips.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And having this entire other life.
Yeah.
And coming back, and a DMT trip only lasts like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In our time, but to the person tripping, it felt like they spent 50 years of their life and had a family and had loved ones and went through the minutia of day-to-day life, and then suddenly they snap back and they're in this other world.
Yeah.
And people have wept for the family that they missed, that only existed during this 10-minute DMT trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that there's a saying that reality is not only stranger than we imagine, mm-hmm. but stranger than we can imagine.
Yeah.
And I put a lot of stock in that, you know, we may go places that it's hard to even explain what they are.
Yeah.
And if time is an illusion, then then a whole lot of things could be true that, you know, we don't necessarily understand.
Sure.
But yeah, that I don't doubt that for a second, that that's a thing that happens to people. And probably in some way accesses the same whatever it is that makes DMT work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what makes you wonder about that sort of thing. What really was bizarre to me about these sort of experiences in dreams, and I do have them sometimes. I shouldn't say I don't anymore, but they're not as, I guess, in depth. I mean, I think part of me when I was having these dreams, there was an element of wanting to escape my current life at that time. But I will have dreams sometimes where there's a plethora of knowledge about a certain place or a certain subject or something, whatever the focus is in the dream, that I don't really have in waking hours. I've never learned about. It's not like I sacked it away somehow and like, oh, I learned about that years ago. I don't remember. And now I'm accessing it. It's just like something like I wouldn't know. And it's there. And sometimes it means something. Sometimes it's just like a chronological history of something in the dream that really can't be documented. But it's just like, oh, yeah, that happened years ago over there. Oh, yeah. So-and-so used to say this or that. And these are not real people.
don't know that.
But it's all there in my mind. It's all there in my mind. Maybe, as if this was like, I'm just recalling the past. And it's bizarre.
Oh, yes. And maybe you're accessing somebody else's past.
Yes.
You know, and maybe you're accessing your reincarnational past.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be a very strong believer in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have the answers to how it works, or, you know, this person becomes this person becomes this person, how or why, or, you know, what the mechanism is.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to know that. I know I don't know that. But do I think it happens? Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Do I think it's happened to me? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I believe that I've been here before, and I believe most of, I personally believe all of us have in one form or another. And I wonder if sometimes the things that we unaccountably know come from past life experience, that, you know, maybe we maintain some sort of access to those memories. I used to have a recurring dream when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite young. I mean, this is 5 or 6. And it was years later before I really attached any significance to it. But I had the dream of being, now, you know, I'm a 5 or 6 year old child. I have the dream of being Popeye the Sailor Man.
Okay.
Okay. The cartoon character. And I die and I go to heaven. Well, I go to heaven's gates, and there's all these beautiful ethereal angels that are glowing and kind of indistinct, and just get the impression that they're impossibly pure. And then I show up like this rough, gruff sailor, and I'm told that I'm not ready for heaven. And then I drop straight out of heaven and land in a field. And that was a recurring dream. That's like the only recurring dream I've ever had. And the symbolism there, you know, is not too hard to parse out, that at some point I had been this type of guy and had died and had been told, no, you need to go back to Earth and fix a few things, and been returned and reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely believe that happened, and that was a way of my child mind processing a message of, you've come back, you know, do a better job this time. Mm-hmm. You have some things that were left over from your past life, which would fit very well in with being a sailor.
Sure.
With being, you know, somebody who's kind of like the cartoon character Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would explain to a 5 or 6 year old what you're doing here and what has led to this. And that, again, I don't get a lot of recurring dreams, but that one really, you know, stuck with me from early childhood.
This is just an opinion-based question, but sure. Do you believe past lives can have some sort of relationship with our current life, whether it be bloodline, whether it be geographic location? Does that exist? Is that a commonality that we see, or is it really fairly random as to who you were before as to where you're going to end up next round?
I think there's always links in, and I get this from several different things.
Mm-hmm.
In the Indian belief system, which is way more accepting of reincarnation, in Hinduism and Buddhism, they tend to believe, from what I've read, that you know the same group of people over and over. Now, can you change that? Maybe, but that you reincarnate almost together, and that you see each other in different roles in different lifetimes. Also, studies that have been done on children in India who remembered previous lives, they tended to come back to the same area. And the researchers asked, well, why do you always come back here? And the answer is pretty much, well, this is where I'm from. This is, where else would I come back to? You know, that you know, that's some research I've heard about. Also, and it's kind of in a different mode, but it's similar. They did some, and I'm beware of hypnotic regression. I'm not saying that works. I actually think hypnotic regression probably causes more problems than it solves.
Sure.
But for what it's worth, they did some past life hypnotic regression on mostly white people who are living in California. Mm-hmm. And they found a strangely high number of them remembered being Chinese railroad workers mm-hmm. who lived in that same part of California.
Yeah.
And their souls, you know, or spirits, what have you, they'd reincarnated to the same geographic location.
Yeah.
Even though they became different people. So there's that. Also, just I feel that I have known my loved ones in past lives before. Mm-hmm. I have little doubt of that. That I don't. I think it's a choice at some level that you make to stick together, or maybe it's not a choice, and maybe you just end up together. But
yeah.
I think we've definitely been together before. I absolutely believe that.
Did new people get introduced into this mix of, you know, these old souls that come along, or are we always kind of in the same rotation of people, life to life? And does it ever end? I mean, do we ever reach this higher goal or this higher, way of thinking that we finally can check the boxes and go, okay, I didn't screw up my life too bad this time. Can I do something else now?
That's a fascinating question. Of course, I'm not going to give you the final answer here. Like, I know it, but I would say, just based on numbers, something has to happen, because it took us, like, I don't know, till about 1900 to get to 1 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have 7 billion people.
Sure.
So there'd be a shortage of souls. Unless some people are reincarnating from other parts of the universe. I believe that there's a connection, that this is involved with, and when I say aliens, they're not aliens to themselves, you know, they're not aliens on their planet, they're mm-hmm. aliens now, but other intelligent species.
Yeah.
I think that we reincarnate not only necessarily on this planet, and that there are people here who have lived previous lives on other planets, and that we may go on to live on other planets. Also, I'm not a practicing Hindu, but I do have a great respect for their idea that everything goes through the process, and that we're all once animals. And that before that, we were all once plants. And before that, we were all once like minerals. And we gradually evolved over great spans of time. That I find that fascinating. I don't know whether that's true, but it makes a lot of sense to me. That whatever we call a soul would be essentially indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
And that it just lasts through time after time after time. Is there a goal? I don't know. The kind of, you know, the teaching in a lot of traditions is that you've got to, you know, purify yourself. You've got to, make your karma right. You've got to do something, and then you move on to another level. That may be completely true,
mm-hmm.
or it could just be random. You know,
yeah.
I'm pretty agnostic, and I believe we have souls. I believe that absolutely. But do I know how they move around or how they end up in different circumstances? No, I really don't pretend to.
Well, then we go to the question of like, who's making the judgment call here of like, oh, good, you did these things. Now you can move on up. You're not a fern anymore. You are now a praying mantis, you know, and then you slowly kind of work your way up the scale. Can we?
Yeah, that's kind of the.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you go before a committee or what?
Yeah. like who's making the call that you're going to the next thing? You know, but also, I guess the same question would be, can we be downgraded as well? Can we go from being a living person and next round, guess what? you're a daisy, you know? I mean, can that happen?
That doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, yeah. Does it? But a lot of things in this world don't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
And I don't even know that it necessarily be a rewards and punishment system.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, I want to experience life as an elk this time around.
Yeah.
And
or do you have much choice in it? I mean, is there choice in, like, you want to be an elk? Or is it like you died in the car accident over there and now you're those burrs that stick on the side of everybody's jeans, you know, forever? It's like, God, this is a great way to come back. Like
I have never thought of that before, but yes, that, it could be some mechanism like that.
It's like you just died there, so now you're going to be absorbed into whatever the current environment is. I don't know. I mean... Yeah. There's just so many, you know, bizarre directions that they can take turns on. But as you start to dig into it and you start to talk about some of these concepts and like what people have experienced, it's like, well, you know, I guess anything's on the table, you know?
Yes, it could be all choice. It could be no choice. It could be some choice. It's really tough to say, you know, we know so little about the greater universe in so many ways that we're just guessing, you know, but at least I like to be open-minded and listen to different guesses and not pretend that, oh no, we know this is what happens.
Sure.
We don't, you know, whether people who know that nothing happens, you just die and that's it. I don't believe that for a moment, but people are sure about that, or people who are sure that their specific faith is the way things go all the time for everybody. I respect everybody's religion, but I don't believe everybody's religion.
Sure.
And that's, you know, how I'd feel about it.
Yeah. Far more questions than answers, and they just keep coming.
Oh, yeah.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Vincent Treewell. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program and sharing his experiences with us. Very fascinating conversation. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support and thanks for listening.